Death Spiral, the only anime podcast hosted entirely by child soldiers in matching outfits who defeat zodiac demons using motorcycle karate. We watched a bunch of anime.
Oh boy, did we.
I read some anime. That was a really interesting experience. I mentioned that a little bit earlier, but I actually read some written down language-based anime, which is... It's interesting.
This is some kind of practice from antiquity. Nobody does it that way anymore.
I mean, I have very little experience with pictureless anime. It's a trip, man, I gotta tell you.
So you're finally getting into that light novel game, huh? You've degenerated so far, it's come to this.
It's true. Sometimes you get really impatient. See, you know what? This is actually... a natural extension of a compulsion I've had before where, you know, in the olden days, I pretty much just watched anime. It was actually more accessible to me than any other form of anime, just the watching type anime.
No, that tracks. That's, you know, for a long time. I watched anime, you know, when Pokemon was on. That's, what, like 1998. That's a long time. That's a long time of watching anime. I didn't read my first written anime, or drawn anime, at least, until like 2004, almost a little less than a decade later. Like, come on. We can do better.
It was hard to find. At least a fair variety of it. You know, if you didn't want to read Naruto, or, you know, Samurai Deeper Kyo, sometimes it was hard to find stuff you wanted to read. But eventually... I got tired of waiting for more anime, especially when it was like, you know, the old days where you watch 24 episodes and then maybe nothing would ever happen again.
Mm-hmm.
You never even knew, like, is this series canceled? Did it just stop getting translated? Is it not being broadcast here? Maybe nobody picked up the DVD rights. Well, imagine that.
You know, a traumatic formative experience in my young life was... getting the day that they ran out of dubbed Pokemon episodes in America. and it was not even on a cliffhanger. It was just a nothing episode. It ended on a filler episode.
Sure.
Where they met a Vulpix or some bullshit.
Pikachu wanted to go to the hot spring.
Yeah. Well, I got home from school all excited for the new Pokemon episode because I love that shit. I'm a good little consumer pig. And it's the first episode again. They just started it over. From episode one. And this was at a time when Pokemon, believe it or not, was only playing after school once a week. I waited another week. Maybe this was just a little speed bump, but no. They just started the cycle over. And that was my first memory of the import blues, as I'm going to call them.
Following that logic, eventually you develop the compulsion to seek out. You get impatient and you seek out. And this is what I did. This led me to reading massive amounts of manga because I'm tired of waiting. I cannot wait. I've said many times in this show, I don't even particularly like reading currently publishing manga because I do not like to wait.
You don't like to run out and have to wait. Nobody likes that. It's the worst part.
You know, it's like something... It is very difficult for me, especially for like Chainsaw Man, which doesn't got a lot of pages per chapter.
Yeah, it hovers around like 18 pages a chapter, you know, on a good week.
Yes, and we are especially at a point where the story is pretty incoherent anyway. So like just waiting around to see like, okay, is the next chapter going to like do something or
is it,
what?
Yeah.
What's the deal now? Drives me insane.
No, it's you're just waiting for everything to be finally contextualized to make sense, you know?
Yeah. The natural next step that I never took, though, and this is the big evolution, was now that, you know, in the past, I want to say 6 years, probably, the light novel has become dominant in the space. I mean, these things have fucking exploded. Some fucking publishing scumbag genius looked at the exploding popularity of web novels and was like, this is fucking free real estate. I could just trick these dumb assholes into selling me the rights to their fan fiction they are already writing for free. And I could just sell it for literally imaginary dollars and make a shit ton of money. And that's what they've done. And that's where light novels come from. And now all manga and anime is being based on these light novels, much to my own chagrin.
Light novels have kind of become like the primordial ooze at the bottom of the anime evolutionary chain.
Yeah. Yes, they are.
You do well as a web novel, light novel online. You get a lot of downloads. Then maybe you either skip straight to the anime adaptation, which is, you know, becoming a lot more common. Sometimes you get a manga adaptation in between. But yeah, it all seems to start there.
Yes, with literally free labor. Or as in some very terrible cases that I've heard about, this is not common, though. You have to pay the platform to host your fucking web novel, which is the most insane shit ever.
I mean, I think that's morally reprehensible, but you have to give credit where credit is due. How often does a con man actually trick people into paying him for the privilege of getting conned? That's like, no, that's top tier. That's craftsmanship.
It's truly incredible. I mean, if it wasn't as particularly evil as it is, I would be jealous of not coming up with it myself. But I have inevitably in my anime reading, watching, looking at career, I have inevitably reached the ooze. I got tired of waiting for new anime and new manga. And I had to read the fucking light novel.
Oh my God. Oh, which one?
I have been reading, because Ishira, I said multiple times, I really loved Ishira. And I'm sick of waiting around because we just had season 2. And it's just not enough. And there's like 10 books, right?
Mm-hmm.
And 8 of them have been translated into English. I just got fed up and read the book. First, I did my due diligence. First, I looked to see if there was a manga, and there was, but the manga, believe it or not, only has like 5 chapters. So it's not even halfway caught up to the anime.
Wow.
Like, not even close.
Well, how many books are there?
I said it. There's 8 in English right now. 8. 10 in total.
And these have official translations, or these are fan translated online?
No, official translations being published by Yen Press, I believe, is bringing these things over, throwing them up on, I don't know, there's some kind of like light novel web app or something. And I just dived in and I burned through these fucking things, and I don't regret it, but I have to say, you know, when we talked about them being, you know, airport thrillers, you know, the original style paperback.
Pulp novels, penny dreadfuls.
Yes. And pulp novels being particularly apt here, because obviously the original pulp novel, right, is they would print it on pulped fucking newspaper, right?
Yeah.
Because they weren't even worth the profit margin on them was so small, it wasn't even worth like real paper.
That's a 2-for-1 price. You get the news and a story.
And hey, they do this with the secondary publications of Shonen Jump, right? They just print them right onto like recycled paper.
Very, very famously, they have a multicolored recycled paper. So you get like this rainbow striation in all the volumes.
Oh, God, it sounds like a nightmare.
Yeah.
God damn it. Yeah. And this is essentially just the web novel version of that. Just the pulped mass. And they are like that. The writing quality is not great. The translation quality is also not great. I read one and it's like filled with misspellings and shit. It's crazy.
I what I've wondered about these light novels is like, do the Ishira novels have a strong, like, authorial voice, like, throughout them? Because I feel like anything resembling that, like, you know, a story, you know, say written by Stephen King or C.S. Lewis or whoever you want.
Michael Crichton.
Michael Crichton.
Dan Brown. Tom Clancy.
No, we don't talk about Tom Clancy.
He's dead, but he's still publishing.
So what I'm saying is, like, you know, you authors generally have a strong voice in style from work to work. Do the 8 Ishira novels, like, I just feel like being translated, even an official translation, do they use the one translator for all eight books? You know, does any yes. voice that is in there, is that coming from the text, or is that coming from the translator's translation of the text?
Well, the history of translations is a very deep and complex and controversial one. Dave Musto, I believe, is the guy who translated these into English. He did do all the volumes. Man, I do not read Japanese. I have no fucking clue what these would sound like in the original language. I have to assume there is a lot of liberties being taken in the translation, but I really could not tell you. Who fucking knows?
Yeah.
But Dave Musto does a good job at remaining consistent with the authorial voice. There is like very pronounced authorial voice throughout these novels. There are author's tics that make appearances in everything written.
Okay.
There are lots and lots of choices, a lot of them being completely baffling and strange. For instance, there is a thing where, and I, you know, this is something I notice in a lot of modern fiction writing, where it blends together with like somebody maybe unintentionally kind of writing for the screen, like screenwriting style. You can literally see like filmic beats in the way they're writing, almost uh-huh. as if they are writing dialogue blocking. But, you know, in novel form, which is something Keiso, which is their writer's name, does a lot. They will write a line of dialogue and then slip back in time to before the line of dialogue and give the description of what they're doing, and then continue the line of dialogue as if it is an action insert in a script, which is, you know,
a choice.
Annoying to read, to be honest. Yeah, you know, it's not great. There are choices I do like, but it's not great writing, but it does have the Michael Crichton thing that we've talked about where, like, it's pulpy as fuck, and it's, like, compelling. It wastes no fucking time. It moves incredibly fast, and the story hooks are strong enough that even though, like, the writing's not that great, and sometimes, you know, the characters are incredibly flat and not compelling, the movement alone keeps you fucking strapped in, which I think is what I liked about the anime, too, even though I think this story works a lot better in motion than it does on the page, which is kind of funny.
Well, I mean, isn't that, maybe that's why this author is writing, basically making a transcription of a screen, something that's playing out on the screen. That's why these action well, breaks are there.
Kind of like in their head, they're seeing.
Yeah.
They're seeing how it would play out.
This is just thought practice. You know, they're shadow boxing for their directorial debut.
I think this is, no, I mean, I really think this is a thing that crops up a lot in, it sounds so derogatory, but like amateur fiction, you know, you see this in fan fiction itself. And again, I'm not making any positive or negative judgments on fan fiction or amateur fiction, but it does have a lot of things in common, especially the way that action works in those things, where you can clearly see the author getting really excited about the idea of like the thing that is playing out in their head, and they just kind of just start going.
Fucking. There's a simple sort of beauty in that kind of like stream of consciousness writing.
Usually you would have an author come in and sit with you and talk through like how you can improve or work through the kinks of your writing because of the way web novels work. Nobody actually does that until they reach the light novel publishing stage. And at that point, it's too late. You mm-hmm. already wrote the fucking thing. The guy's just coming in to be like, hey, you need to hit 200 pages before we officially publish. Can you go back and like add more words?
add more girl characters.
Yeah. Can you describe her breasts a few more times? Can you describe this woman as corpulent in more paragraphs?
Okay, is anime in writing as like weirdly like
lascivious?
I was going to say sexually predisposed. male gaze. I'm calling out the male gaze.
The male gaze.
Yeah.
Well, yes, obviously. I mean, it's obviously not as much as in an anime or a manga because it's words, And I think a lot of authors get uncomfortable, like, describing very intensely their own fetishes, like, in their own words. I think that's easier to do when you're, like, drawing something. I don't know why that is, but it is. But yes, it is in much the same way as, like, you know, a Dan Brown would.
Mm-hmm.
Whenever a woman character is being introduced or described, there are always comments about their bodies in a way that the male characters do not get, unless they're talking about their muscles or their physique. You know, that is built into the thing.
Well, I mean,
but it's not as, again, it's not as bad. It's not, at least in the Ishira books, it's not extremely bad. But you will notice the exact same thing that is in a lot of things where, you know how, like, only women take cosmetic damage in anime and manga? Like, men never do?
Unfortunately, yes, I know what you're talking about.
There is one particular character in Ishira who is this, essentially a Superman girl. Her body is indestructible and impervious to all forms of harm. She moves incredibly fast, she punches incredibly hard, that kind of thing. Uh-huh. But she is the only character who gets into these huge fights, and whenever she gets hit by an attack or whatever, her clothes come off. This never happens to any other character.
Well, yeah, because her body is so indestructible. You know, all of the damage gets reflected off back onto her clothes, shattering them. It makes perfect sense.
All the male characters, when they get hit by crazy attacks, flame attacks and energy beams, their clothes just naturally kind of, like, you know, reflect the damage away and kind of goes through their actual skin. But since she's a indestructible woman, of course, her clothes have to burn off completely.
Mm-hmm.
Leaving her exposed, but also okay, but it doesn't matter because she's not self-conscious about it. She doesn't mind that she's naked, so it's fine, actually.
I can't believe we're still dealing with tropes like that in a post Kill la Kill world. Like, it kind of took the oomph out of it, right? At least for me. Like, they skewered it. They said all there needs to be said about it, and then some.
They did the damn thing.
Yeah, they did, and they did it well. They did it better than everybody else.
Oh, well. Unless anime and manga become incredibly unprofitable soon, I think we're never going to escape that.
Oh, please, Remy, we are in a bull economy for anime and manga. As the male loneliness epidemic increases, it's only going to go up and up.
I know.
Let me ask you one final question. Do you feel more fulfilled as a fan of Ishira now that you've read these novels than before?
Now, because I was interested in what would happen next, I am. Yes, because now I know what happens next. That was all I wanted.
And eight is, that's all of them? It's an ended series?
No.
So you're still
there
waiting.
There are two more that have not.
There's still more, and you're waiting for it.
Yes, I have reached the barrier of Ishira, English Ishira again, and yet again I reached the actual barrier, which is I could just learn Japanese, I guess, but I'm not gonna do that.
We're not gonna do that.
I'm not gonna do that.
Don't.
That's too much.
Hey, don't ask us to do that, because we're not gonna do that.
I'm not gonna do that. I'm sorry.
Okay, well,
I know the three words that I've learned from having to, like, Google anime and manga names, and that's it. Ningen.
Okay.
Ningen.
Well, enough for the dying art of the written word. I think that we both watched some anime with our eyes on a TV screen.
Yes, real actual anime that is current and being published in the way that we just described that we did not like.
What?
It is week to week style anime. And we've entered week one.
Spring anime.
Spring anime 2025 premieres.
Spring. So I guess we should start off with the one that we both watched. Now, I think that we watched some witches. Is that right? Did we watch a witch?
We had to start with a witch because it is Season of the Witch.
Season of the Witch, baby.
It's Halloween 3, Season of the Witch. We've got witches all over the place here, but the most priority was given to Witch Watch.
Now, which watch was that?
Don't start with me. This was a very, very popular manga when it first premiered, caught a lot of attention because it's very well drawn And it's a concept that is everybody's a fucking sucker for.
Yeah.
Like it's the old slam dunk. It's the old fan fave. There was never a world where this wasn't going to be popular to some extent.
I mean, let's just list off what makes it so like fundamentally appealing.
Self-insert character who's all powerful.
Yep.
Cute girl with magic powers who loves him.
Not only is she a cute girl with magic powers, fantastical magic powers, but she's also a klutz, so she is extra dependent on him as well.
Yes, she's beautiful and ditzy. It's literally set up that he must protect her, which is just, come on, man. It's like, oh,
well, okay. So when you described this to me a while ago, when I think you talked about the manga a little bit, you read a couple chapters, you know, you said that he was her childhood friend and she chose him to be her familiar. You didn't mention that he wasn't just chosen. He is from a, you know, long bloodline of ogre bodyguards that have been sworn to her particular witch family, like, forever.
Oh, yes. Sorry, yes, he was literally born to be her boyfriend. Yes, he was grown in a vat to be her sexy boyfriend protector.
Now there's a couple things that strike me as strange about the setting that they've set up for Witch Watch. So this is a society where magic is real, monsters are real, witches
monster boys.
Yeah, monster boys are the sexiest kind of boy. And witches go to magic witch school and witches can only be girls, right? Did they set that up?
It's fair to assume.
It's fair to assume witches can only be girls.
It's fair to assume.
And yet, as far as I can tell, witches do not dominate every facet of society that they live in with their amazing magical powers.
Do you want them to be like the ultimate supreme power that rules over the world because they control magic?
Yeah, well, that, I mean, that's just how it would be, right? Like, and this isn't a gender thing. This is like, if there is a literal genetic overclass of people with magical powers to do like amazing feats of metaphysics at their whim, they would just naturally rule over society with an iron fist and everybody else would be, you know, second class citizens. But that's not what I'm seeing.
You are going to love Ichi the Witch. Just wait.
Uh-huh. Okay. All right.
All questions will be answered in time. Now, what did you think of this episode? Because I was very surprised that my watch partners weren't as into this as I thought they would be.
Maybe you're selling them a bit short.
Well, I just thought, you know, this is such a slam dunk in so many different ways. But I think I forgot how, like, gaggy it was.
It's, you
There's
know,
not
it's,
really much of a narrative, even in this first episode.
True. I was going to say it is a little bit, let me get it up front. And I thought it was fine.
Yeah, I thought it was fine.
I don't know if it's something that's super, like, catching my attention. I don't know if I'm going to stick with it unless it has a real interesting hook in the next couple of episodes, but it's a rom-com about a guy and a girl. And, you know, he's the big, not stoic, but he's kind of,
he's clueless. Emotionally muted.
Yeah. He's emotionally muted. And
he's a straight man.
Mm-hmm, yeah. And she's the happy go lucky kind of klutzy, nice girl. And she has a very huge, like, obvious crush on him. And it's a lot of gags of her being like, you know, wow, he's so handsome now that he's an adult. I hope he bees my I hope he gets to be my boyfriend. And he's like, I don't know, totally thinking about something else. It's banal, is what I was trying to get at for the most part from what I saw. Animated very well, you know, better than most other stuff I've been seeing this season so far.
Unfortunately. Yeah, I think the animation's fine. Yeah. I was not super blown away, but I think maybe that's just one of the circumstances of them not having a lot of stuff to do in the first episode, I guess.
Yeah. I mean, they confront some bullies, and the gag is that the bullies look like different types of fish, or something. The joke is that he's like incredibly, you know, Superman levels of strong, right? He has magical ogre abilities and he can punch through walls and he's super durable and stuff like that. And so he's constantly, basically just always thinking about ways to not hurt everyone around him with his awesome strength.
Yeah, just like everybody, you know. Yeah. we're all thinking these things, like, how, yeah, do I not use my super strength to hurt
it's
people?
Very relatable, but you know, it's the one joke for his character, that, and that he doesn't realize how much of a crush she has on him. Like, that's the setup for everything that I saw in that first episode.
Yes. In order to be a gentleman, you have to be completely oblivious of women's feelings.
Mm-hmm.
It's the only way. Only a creep would be able to intuit what a woman is feeling. That's creepy, bro.
Okay. Witch watch.
So are you going to watch the next episode?
I'll probably watch the next episode. Yeah. You know, all it's right. I'm going to keep an eye on it. Yes.
We'll return. All right. To your great shame, I would like you to report back on Haite Kudasai Takamine-san.
Okay. So I didn't think it was possible. I did watch it. I'm not going to try and get around it. I'm not going to try and lampshade it. I watched that first episode of Haite Kudasai, okay, Takamine. Please put them
and,
on.
How's the theme song?
I skipped it. I always skip theme songs.
What the fuck? You can't do that on the first episode. What are you doing?
Well, actually, they've been doing this trend of they do a cold open on the first episode, and then the theme song is at the end of the episode, kind of like as a jump in animation.
Yes, that is true. I've been seeing that a lot.
I did watch it. It was at the end of the episode. It was okay. It was fine. I don't remember really anything about the song. It was honestly kind of forgettable. What I'm trying to say is I didn't think it was possible, but the anime is like way, way more perverse and like straight up pornographic than the manga. They did it more.
You think the manga is more restrained?
Yeah. Oh yeah. Way more.
How is that possible?
So, you know, the manga employs liberal use of, I'm not going to say cleverly, but, you know, self-censored, like gag, censorship on nudity. You know, a sure. Conveniently placed plant or whiff of steam from the shower. You know what I'm talking about.
Oh, yes. The Austin Powers.
Yes, the Austin Powers. They just show it all. They're just showing it all in the anime.
They're showing it all.
They're showing it
they're
all.
Showing it all?
Yeah. They're showing nips and tips.
Holy shit.
Yeah.
How is that possible?
I don't know.
Did they change the laws? Are the laws different?
They finally petition the Anime Tribunal Council, and they change the laws.
Now that Shinzo Abe's dead,
yeah,
they finally got around to unediting anime. The gamers are rising up.
Oh no! I have seen the gaming future, and it is nudity in anime.
It is nude anime.
Other than that, it's unremarkable. It is the same schlocky slop plot as the manga. Popular girl, top student in school, has the ability to time travel by taking off her clothes, and in doing so the clothes disappear, so she has this guy follow her around with extra clothes for her to put on.
I forgot about the disappearing aspect of it, which is very strange.
Yes. Well, everything comes at a price. Nothing's for free.
I guess that's true.
Yeah.
Equivalent exchange.
This is what Hiromu Arakawa was really trying to write about.
Yeah. How's the animation?
Honestly, I think that's the only thing they had to spend money on, because they did not spend money improving the writing at all. So it honestly looks okay. Unfortunately, it is just, it's just etchy slop. It's just etchy slop. I had to take a look to see what it was going to be like, and I dropped it. I'm dropping it for the same reasons that I dropped the manga. It's pure dopamine injection for people who do not deserve it.
Okay. I appreciate your honesty.
Yeah. Do not watch this. It's bad. It's a dumb premise. The animation budget is wasted on what is basically softcore pornography.
Sure.
Yeah, that's about it.
I did not even try to bring this one up with my watch partners. I didn't even try.
You made the correct decision.
Yeah. We did watch Gushing Over Magical Girls a couple seasons ago, so I think
they shouted you down squarely enough for that one that maybe yeah. You're a little nervous to try and pull that a move like that again.
It still comes up. Okay, all right. I will not be watching that one at all. So let's see. Okay, let me tell you about Kijin Gentosho, because what was the English name of this one? Blade, Sword of the Demon Hunter.
Sword of the Demon Hunter.
This one's a little weird. I had high hopes for this, and they weren't necessarily all dashed. It did end up being a slightly, let's say a B- on the animation scale, which I think really does this story a disservice. Because it's a good story. It's fun. And it's also in the style of Witch Watch, something that should be a slam dunk. Like, it's got every single element people like, right? There's sort of like a tragic, dramatic irony, sob story background for the characters. There's a dude who's half demon who gets to fucking like hunt people around with a sick ass demon sword. You know, there's anime ladies. There's cool fight scenes. There's pathos, there's drama, occasionally there's humor.
And this is not just like off-brand Demon Slayer?
It is not off-brand Demon Slayer at all. It's more mature in some ways than Demon Slayer, because it's not about kids going to demon slaying school. It's more about a man's journey through time, which is a hard sell because the first episode has to be the entire backstory, which is a fairly rich backstory. But one of the big selling points of the series is that this is a man who has become immortal in an effort to, let's say, accomplish his goal.
Sure.
And so he drifts forward through time, through massive... I've traveled oceans of time to find you, right?
Yeah, love
but
that line.
None of that happens in the first episode, which is a real shame. Until literally like the last 2 seconds, there's a tease. So I had a hard time selling this to my watch partners because the central gimmick isn't in the first episode, which is a problem for any anime.
Yeah. Well, I mean, just anything in general, creators, writers, people out there, lead with the good stuff. Like, people will stick around a lot longer if they like the beginning. You know, they'll put up with a bad ending or a bad middle if it's a strong start.
This is one of those times when I'm like, okay, if you allowed me to edit 1 minute, not even add anything, if you allowed me to edit 1 minute of the footage you already had in this premiere, I think I could make it phenomenally better than it is right now, just by changing some stuff around. But, you know, whatever. I think ultimately, if you aren't hooked by the story, which again, I think is a good backstory, the animation, it might not convince you to continue watching. One of my watch partners continually, every time this dude showed his abs in the first episode, she's like, that's not what they look like. That's weird. And I kind of have to agree. Some of the physique ends up looking very strange. It's not a bad looking show, but again, this is not like, this is not properly animated for what it deserves.
Well, you get what you pay for.
I'm going to continue watching this if I can sell it to my watch partners. They were not 100% convinced, though.
Listen, in the history of anime or entertainment in general, hey, you just have to wait for the good bit has never been a strong argument. So,
nope.
You know, good luck with that.
At least. Compared to, let's say, I don't know, One Piece skeptics. You don't have to be like, okay, wait for the end of the first 300 episodes, and then you can like really, it'll really kick into gear. We'll see. We'll see after episode two what the deal is.
Okay. All right. Well, I had the unfortunate experience of watching some more anime.
This isn't anime.
Hey, well, do you want to get, we don't have time to get into that conversation. I watched it in Japanese. it counts as anime.
I put my chips down.
Yeah, you're putting your
Devil May Cry is not an anime.
Devil May Cry, the animation.
The Japanimation.
Yeah. Oh, boy. This is the new project from the Netflix Castlevania crew, Studio Mir. And, you know, again, in a they just keep doing their video game adaptations. They did Castlevania seasons. They did that. Did you see any of the Captain Laserhawk show that they did based off of the Far Cry Blood Dragon character?
Yeah, the DLC to an old Far Cry game.
Yeah.
No, I did not watch that one. I did watch their adaptation of Dota, at least the first season.
Yeah, those guys.
Which, again, one of those things where I was like, man, this really deserved the League of Legends budget. This deserved the Arcane budget, and it got...
Yeah.
It did not get that.
Well, I don't know. Let me ask you this. In the Dota anime, did they replace every other word of dialogue with either fuck or bitch? Because that seems to be whoever wrote the script for these episodes, their main takeaway from a series where the main character very famously says in one game that he doesn't like swearing.
Oh, well, it's probably based on the Alex Garland script.
Oh, well, that is probably true. There is a lot of that Alex Garland DMC game DNA. DMC DNA in
the DMC
this,
DNA.
In this
you
adaptation.
You famously did not believe me when I told you that Alex Garland wrote that game.
I was taken aback. I thought you were joking.
You thought
when
I was joking. Yeah.
Alex Garland of Annihilation and
Ex Machina.
Kind of like the indie sci-fi slash horror thriller darling for a hot second, right?
Made Civil War.
Yeah, until, oh boy. So I did not believe you, and then I had to look it up, and I was like, holy shit. He wrote possibly the stupidest, most cynical take on a franchise-like revamp that I've ever seen. Yeah, if you've never played it...
Be careful. Some people really like that one.
Okay, I played it. I played it, you know, quite extensively. Devil May Cry is one of those series that I hold very near and dear to myself. I played a lot of it in my formative nerd years when I was a chubby little kid in high school. And I had to give it a shot. It's real weird, you know. And this is the Alex Garland game I'm talking about. You know, Dante is kind of a weird misanthrope who swears all the time and kind of looks like a...
He's a punk.
He's a Long Beach meth addict, really, at heart.
He briefly played in Red Hot Chili Peppers.
Yeah, exactly. He's got some... He's taken some notes from, like, mid-2000s Anthony Kiedis style. And... Yeah.
He won't keep a shirt on.
You know, I won't say much more other than one of the bosses near the end of the game is literally a giant floating Bill O'Reilly head that uses TVs on tentacles to shoot lasers at you. That's the kind of gripping satire we're working with Alex Garland on this one. And it definitely seems in this Netflix TV show, the animation, done by Studio Mir and the Castlevania guys, they are heavily channeling a lot of that attitude and injecting it into, I don't even know how to describe, Devil May Cry overall. It's like weird gothic motorcycle punk, but like Japanese Bosozoku motorcycle punk kind of aesthetic, but with the giant gothic architecture everywhere and there's demons. You know, it's... Yeah. it's very fundamentally Hideki Kamiya. You know, it's like, it's got that dude written all over it, if you know any of his other works.
Yeah, and he loved that weird gothic, like gothic sci-fi 80s anime stuff.
Yeah. And so the Netflix show, A, takes place in modern day New York. The evil vice president is like the main villain, and he controls the demon cop like squad. And by the way, the character of Lady from Devil May Cry 3, who was a bounty hunter slash demon hunter, is now like a cyber cop who swears all the time.
Sucks so bad.
It really sucks. It's baffling. And so like I told you, the vice president is the villain. The president is a very on the nose kind of like, you know, sophomoric poke at Trump.
Yep.
He's a big fat blonde guy who talks with like a lisp, like a very dated, like, you know, 1990s, like gay caricature lisp. It's very weird.
Not good.
It's not a good choice.
It's really bad.
And probably the weirdest thing that I hate about it is it's carried over that super... Okay, you know how we feel about the Catholic Church on this show. Not a fan.
Don't like it.
Not a
Wish
fan.
Wish it wasn't in things.
But...
Looking at you, D. Gray Man.
It's got this, like, 14-year-old's... like understanding of what it means to be anti-deist, and that is basically saying like fuck the church a lot, like those words, like literally just that phrase saying a lot.
Yeah, Reddit atheist.
Yeah, yeah. The entire, and so because of that, they have decided that hell isn't hell. Hell is an alternate dimension, and quote-unquote demons are descendant from humans who got trapped in the other dimension and like evolved to have superpowers.
Oh, so like a really dumb version of Debudeman.
Yeah, exactly. So and there's the demon cybercop squad that's in charge of making sure that the demon immigrants get deported back to hell. I'm not making that up.
Jesus Christ.
Yeah, there's a whole subplot.
Oh my God.
There's a whole subplot about demon refugees from hell trying to live in New York and getting deported back to hell by cybercop ICE.
Why have they done this?
I don't know.
This is a train wreck.
So anyway, it's incredibly disappointing. I love Devil May Cry. I love how stupid it is. I love the camp. I love the weird gothic architecture mixed with motorcycle punk culture. This
love
ain't
when he
it.
Eats pizza.
This ain't it,
I
Chief.
I already knew. I mean, I had zero hopes for any of this because when I watched that first Castlevania season, it was all, he's right behind me, isn't he?
Or, yeah. Oh, yeah.
So that happened.
Yep.
It's like, why would you make these characters talk like this? Please.
The kids call that Whedon-esque these days.
It's like, why would you ever, please never write dialogue again in your entire life. Please just don't do that. Why are you making these characters
say
these things?
I think that we all knew what we were going to be getting into when they used a Limp Bizkit song as the opening credit sequence.
I thought that might be tongue-in-cheek.
No, it is 100% sincere.
I said this before already, so it's not a surprise, but I am not going anywhere the fuck near this. I'm not even gonna watch like 2 seconds of it.
Cannot recommend it. Go play the games. They're good fun. They're a good handful of hours.
Sure. Or play Bayonetta. It's like the better version.
I don't know. I think that near the end of that series, maybe Kamiya was letting his own personal decisions get ahead of himself.
He got a little wild. Play Metal Gear Rising Revengeance.
Oh, hell yeah. That great one. Love that game.
That's got a good president. There's a good president boss battle in that.
He's a senator. Excuse me.
Sorry, senator. Senator. Right.
I cannot recommend this. Unfortunately, I did watch the whole season because it was only 8 episodes.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Yeah, you know, it's been a while. It's been a while since we've had Devil May Cry content, and I am a consumer above all else.
Consumer, for real. Okay, well, let me tell you, this is the last one I watched, and it is also a video game adaptation, so this is serendipitous. I watched, and we talked about being kind of extremely curious about what the fuck this would be. I watched Guilty Gear Strive : Dual Rulers. Hard to say. For a person with my particular
dual rulers
voice, this is hard to say.
Dual rear wheel.
Let's just call it Guilty Gear, shall we?
Let's just call it Dualies.
It's Dualies, babies. I don't know how familiar you are with the Guilty Gear plot.
Not very. I'm so not versed in fighting games in general. I played BlazBlue a bunch in college, but never made it over to Guilty Gear. Yeah, I think it's by the same people.
Guilty Gear is a little older than BlazBlue.
Well, as a series, yeah, but
Soul Bad Guy and whatnot.
Yeah. I know it's got that guy with the headband, and he's got a big sword that has like Guilty Gears on it. He's got that Guilty Gear sword all over it.
Yo, there's gears up in this shit. Don't worry. Everybody's packing gears. That's not a problem.
Mm-hmm.
Living weapons, if you're curious. They're living weapons.
Okay.
But they might also want human rights. It's kind of a thing.
Wait, wasn't that the plot of Soul Eater?
Do they want human rights in Soul Eater? I think they're pretty content with the whole situation they've got going on.
Yeah, they're okay just being kind of stands. That's their thing.
Yeah. That one weird little kid that chick wields, he seems like pretty fine with the whole setup.
But these weapons, they want rights.
They do want rights. Weird Soul Eater reference in the last chapter of Gachi Akuta, by the way. Well, it's kind of strange. Anyway, this was too insane. Too dense and too incoherent for my watch partners. Frankly, it was too dense for me, and I'm not super into the Guilty Gear lore. I'm not.
So what you're saying? This one's for the super fans.
I'm not even sure. I can't even say that with any confidence because, man, I think this was just a fucking shotgun blast of Guilty Gear stuff aimed at. Who knows? I'm not sure what the audience is for this, to be honest, because it seemed like it was a mix of lore and like new canon stuff. It was like references and just scattershot of, hey, remember this, maybe? It was insane. Just fucking insane every step of the way. And everybody's heads were too small. That was my big takeaway.
Everybody's got a small head.
They should have made the heads bigger. Everyone's got a small head. And not in like a charming early JoJo way. In like a... No, you fucked up the like perspective or the proportions or something. Something looks weird about how small their heads are.
Maybe someone turned on the tiny head cheat.
It could be. It could be. They were trying to do the GoldenEye thing and they got it backwards. The scalers were wrong. They put a negative value in there. Man, what the, I don't know.
I cannot guess what Guilty Gear is about, but like, how is it animated at least, other than the tiny heads?
It's about living weapons who want human rights. That's it.
That's the whole thing.
Yeah. There's a character who is leading a kind of witch hunt crusade against the living weapons who have outlived their usefulness.
Is he a skinny guy in a white coat who has a long katana?
No, but I mean, you're kind of in the same ballpark. He's a hero type.
Sure.
And instead of defeating all the living weapons, he falls in love with one and has a very conspicuous marriage with them. But not before having a child and raising him to adulthood. This is a child out of wedlock. Deep, deep out of wedlock.
Interesting.
Yeah. Strange.
So we got a DILF character.
Yeah, it's weird. What a weird. That's not even touched on. That's like just, hey, by the way,
they don't even focus on the
one
DILF.
Of the main characters has to be the child of these two characters, and the first episode is set on their wedding day, so it's unavoidable. Just from a scripting perspective, it was unavoidable.
Okay, so it doesn't make you better at playing the game, obviously.
Definitely not. definitely not. Not teaching you combos.
It doesn't really provide a lot of context for the lore of the game, because you're kind of expected to already know it from what it sounds like.
Yeah, soul bad guy, already a mentor type.
Who is this for?
I have no fucking clue. It did not help my watch partners get into Guilty Gear. The animation was really strange. Like I said, the head thing is kind of just the tip of the iceberg. There was some really, really weird shit going on. Sometimes it really worked.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes it just did not at all. Like, it was like, what the fuck? There were a lot of really strong directorial choices that I think were bold, but maybe did not pay off all the time. I really am at a loss for words. This thing was fucking weird.
You know what this kind of reminds me of is, do you remember that trend in PS2 games in like the 2003 to 2006 era, where there was a lot of Japanese like RPG games that would release like bonus DVDs with the game that had one or two episodes of like a tie-in anime OVA to go with the game?
Sure.
Do you remember that?
Yeah, that's where the Persona anime started.
Yeah, the Persona ones, the Dot Hack games all came with like bonus DVDs where if you got all four games, you would get all four episodes of the OVA that gave, you know, metatextual insight into the plot.
I think Xenogears had something like that.
Yeah, this is reminding me of something like that, you know, where it's like, yeah, of course you don't understand what's going on. You didn't play the game that came in the box, idiot.
I don't know. I really don't know.
Also, I wonder why they didn't just use the engine that they've been making the games in to make the anime, because we talked about that before. Those games look damn good.
There are parts of this first episode that do look really good. There are parts, I mean, it's all 3D, but there are parts where it just looks like a fucking anime, which looks great. And then there are just parts where it's like, did something like go wrong in the render? I don't know. I really don't know.
Oh boy.
This is worth a watch just because of how fucking insane it is, but I'm not sure if it's worth an episode two watch. I don't think I can convince my watch partners to watch episode two. They were mad about this one.
Oh boy.
Yeah.
All right. So does that mean that Witch Watch is the only one on here that we're like both confident that we want to watch the second episode of?
No, I want to watch the second episode of Kijin Gentosho.
Oh, right.
Because
yeah.
I read the manga and I really like the story, and I'm curious to see if maybe the second episode will pitch the concept more than the first episode, which was all set up. But I'm definitely going to watch that. And I guess I'll watch the second episode of Witch Watch. I don't think I'll watch any of this other stuff.
Yeah. Definitely don't watch Devil May Cry.
Won't be doing that.
Do not watch Haite Kudasai Takamine-san. It's just porn.
I cannot believe that. I thought they would tone it down to make it more of a gag show.
No, they went all in. All in.
Wow.
Crazy shit.
I wonder what the conversations were there. Like, hey, I don't think this manga's funny enough to have an audience. We need to just turn it into straight porn.
Yeah. That's the only thing. Yeah, and by the time that they've realized what they've seen, we've already seen everything. I've already seen the whole thing.
I've already seen everything. Okay.
Oh, well, okay, well, the good news is that there are still more premieres yet to come. Ones that we didn't watch this week and more coming out next week, so that's, I guess, gives me a little bit of hope.
Yeah, I guess to wrap up, do you want to just pick out a couple that you're going to watch for next time? Now that Lazarus has premiered, I am definitely going to be watching that.
Okay, so here's the thing. Actually, Lazarus, I want to touch on real quick. I tried to watch the first episode of Lazarus.
Okay.
Only the dub is available currently.
Awful.
The Japanese language premiere does not occur until next month.
That's so weird. I didn't know that.
Yeah. I tried to find the Japanese language online. Could not. Only dub available right now. And unfortunately, I got like 5 minutes in. The dub is bad. Like, it's not good.
I assumed.
Yeah.
I assume.
So
we're in a bad era for dubbing.
So that's one thing, unfortunately, that we're going to have to put on the back burner. At least I am, until I can watch it with subtitles, because...
Oh, man. I guess I'll wait, too.
Oh, gosh. I forgot to talk about... I left off of a premiere that I watched.
Okay, we'll save it for next time.
Okay.
But let me just say, I am going to be watching Gundam, now that it's premiered. Gundam, yep. G-Cux.
Gonna get my G-Cux on.
Has premiered. I'm going to be watching the first episode of that. I'm probably going to be able to swing Kowloon Generic Romance.
Yep.
And I think I might be able to convince my watch partners to jump on to a second witch, I think. Probably the Dying Witch one. Once Upon a Witch's Death. I might be able to throw that one in.
Okay. Let's see here. I'm probably also going to be watching Kowloon Generic Romance. I was looking forward to that one already.
Mm-hmm.
I want to see what's going on with Zatsutabi. That's Journey. And
they're at the concert. That is Journey. No, up there. That's Journey.
I don't know. I was thinking about possibly checking out Your Forma just to see if they explain the title.
Yeah, I want to know what Your Forma means, too. I'm also interested in, and I'm not sure I'll squeeze this in just because, you know, who knows. But I'm still curious about what this new animation style that they're going to be premiering Moonrise with. Got to know what that new animation is.
Brand new animation style.
What do they mean? What does that mean?
Like that which has never been seen before.
I've seen so many different animation styles. I feel like I've seen all of them, but apparently there's a new one.
It has me incredibly excited.
I'm dying of curiosity.
Gotta see what they're talking about. All right. I think that's it for now, handsome and beautiful listeners. Come back for more spring 2025 anime 2025 spring premieres in 2025 premieres. Next week. Bye. Leather, yellow leather, red leather, yellow leather. She sells seashells by the seashore.
Yeah, Ruga.